Hello and welcome to Rear Winging It, the Formula One podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Harry McKay, and I'm joined by my fellow co-host,
Ellie Ledwell.
Ellie, welcome back to the first race of the 2023 Formula One season.
Thank you for welcoming me.
Another season, we're back.
Back
in Bahrain.
We didn't think we'd make it this far, but...
All the haters, they said, they will never make it past two episodes. They'll never win Best Podcast Award.
At the Urias.
Yeah, but...
But, we proved them wrong.
We did.
We got renewed for a second series.
Yeah.
So...
Here we are.
Crack it.
Ellie, tell me... Give me an overview, your impressions of the first race of the season. What do you think?
Well, I thought everyone seemed a bit closer together other than the Red Bulls. So I thought we won't have a championship battle like we were hoping, but yeah. I think we'll get a lot more midfield battle, maybe more on-track overtakes, maybe more drama, thrills and spills.
I mean, Q1... in qualifying was separated the whole field by 1.2 seconds.
I can't remember the last time.
I think that is the new record for that kind of thing. And obviously that didn't hold out the whole weekend, but it is a good sign that at least if you take out the Red Bulls, the field is closer and more competitive.
Yeah, which is what we wanted when the new regulations came in. So hopefully they work. Hopefully we see that. And with the wind tunnel time, the teams that finished worse off last year get more time.
Yeah.
So throughout the season, they should progress more. So maybe people will catch up to Red Bull because they have less. And then I think part of their punishment for the breach
they
was
get even
to
less.
Get less. So they don't have as much time.
I think it might be 10% less as well. So. That could help massively with development because you have a situation where, with Aston Martin, I hope everyone appreciated the little... special intro there, courtesy of Ellie.
Thank you. And ABBA.
Oh, and ABBA, yeah. Thank can't. You. Please don't sue us.
Please don't sue us, Benny, Bjorn, Annie, and whatever the other one's called.
Yeah, they'll sue us now. You've offended them.
Or just the one that I couldn't remember.
I was going to just try and get another Swedish-sounding name. I thought I might get cancelled for that. I don't know.
You have Swedish friends. It's fine. Yeah, but,
Okay, I'll cut that bit. Yeah, so with Aston Martin, they've made a car that can start to compete with, Mercedes definitely and Ferrari. Even.
Yes.
We saw in this race, but over the course of a season, normally you wouldn't expect them to be able to keep up with development. But I think, they finished ninth.
Seventh.
So they have, a lot more wind tunnel time than Mercedes. So over the season, they should be able to keep up.
Yeah, with the budget cap now, they're a well-funded team, right?
Yeah, I mean,
they'll be able to hit the cap.
Money, so
where obviously some teams don't manage
the wind tunnel time to go with it. So.
Yeah, and they're building. They've got their own wind tunnel, I think, up and running now.
Yes, I think it's up and running. But yeah, and they've got other stuff coming online. I mean, yeah, they could be a real force over the next few years.
Which they've got. Yeah, they've got the base. They've got new owners, obviously, like Lance Stroll come in and stuff, and they seem to have. They're building a solid base to work on, which I think is quite good.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to see another team, have the resources, I suppose, to compete.
Yes.
And if the regulation seems to be helping with that, because it, brings everyone out of that a little bit closer.
Yeah, definitely.
We did have a Red Bull 1-2, which after the, We did. I feel like managed expectations in our season preview. But definitely, some people still thought it could be up in the air, and it seemed to be the Red Bull was closer throughout practice. But in the end, Max really did dominate this race, didn't he?
Yeah, he won by nearly 12 seconds, and then Alonso was 40 seconds off the front, Hamilton 50 seconds off the front. So there's still big margins, obviously. When you get caught in traffic, that obviously changes things, whereas Max was free from the beginning to just go. He never had any kind of threat. So obviously it's easier to build up a margin. It's easier to maintain your tyres and stuff like that. Whereas when you're in a battle, obviously it is a bit more difficult. Yeah. And that is why they are further back. But it's still a very, very big gap. And also to his teammate, they had the same strategy. Perez had a bad start, lost out at the beginning, but there's still 12 seconds. That's a very big gap.
Yeah.
I think we're just used to seeing it these days, but...
Yeah. I think I think to Perez's defence there, obviously within the team, he lost out at the start. He had to fight that position back. And then I think from then on, his pace was quite similar to Max's. The gap mm-hmm. then didn't open that much. Whether that is Perez pushing like mad to try and catch up and Max managing his tyres, whether that's both of them managing, you know, it's you can't quite see the true pace difference then. But definitely not the worst start for Perez either.
Yeah, the actual start wasn't great, but for the whole race, it was fine. But when you're in a car that is superior, and I think less would have felt,
especially
with the way the race panned out for the Ferrari.
Yeah. Should we talk about the start then?
Well, before, we got to go into before the start, because Leclerc, he needed a new energy store, which I think that's just a fancy term for battery.
Yeah.
Could have got one off of the Williams, bit of a sponsored by Duracell. And also his control electronics. Pre-race, they had to put new ones in. You only get two per season before you get a penalty. So he'll already be on his second one.
Yeah.
So before...
Not a great start.
Before the first race had even started, he had already used up one. Maybe they can fix it or repair it.
Yeah, I think, again, it works like you can't break the seal on it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's any way around that, but if they can do some checks on it and it's okay, then maybe they can still use
it. Yeah, if it was like an electronic issue, then they might be able to
fix that. But
do some computer stuff, I don't know. But
yeah, not the great start, which had a bit of, I just feel like, foreshadowing for the actual race.
Yeah, the Ferrari had reliability issues last year, and they ended up having to like turn their engines down.
Yeah.
And this isn't a great way.
No, and I think they said they were focusing on reliability over the winter. So.
Yeah, they spent a lot of time developing for this year, so they wouldn't have thought this was the way it was going to go, I feel.
But did. If we look back at the first race of last season, Bahrain, we had a almost the opposite story to this, with the Red Bulls dying.
Yeah, double elimination. Yeah,
double DNF, and the Ferrari one too. So, you know, and there were also, you know, the season opening curse where whoever wins the first race for the last, I think, 7 years hasn't...
Since 2017.
Yeah, there you go. So. Haven't won the actual championship. I'm not sure that will hold up this time, but we'll see.
We'll see. So everyone was starting on the soft tyres, which were the quickest. I don't think anyone liked the mediums this weekend.
No, they were thoroughly avoided.
Yeah, I didn't see anyone on them in the race.
I think because the hard performed just as good, but lasted a lot longer.
Yeah, so Kevin Magnussen was the only person to start on the hards, everyone else on the softs.
Mm-hmm.
And he was starting 17th, so I'd feel like they were kind of leaving him out like a sit duck.
I guess
you got to roll your dice. If you're not in the points
and
you're quite a long way off the points, you might try something different. Stroll also, this was something we saw quite a bit. He locked up on the formation lap, and we saw a lot of people doing this in the race and having to go off onto the... it's like a sticky kind of surface to trap the sand. So I imagine then you're getting all that sand and dust and dirt in your tyres. So he was starting the race with a bit of a flat spot and all this dirt on his tyres. And also not great.
And broken wrists.
And broken wrists. And toe.
And toe,
and cracked ribs.
Yeah.
So not a great start for him. But that was all before the lights had even gone out.
Yeah.
Quite eventful. But as we said, Perez had a really bad start when the lights did go out. And he lost out to Leclerc.
Mm-hmm.
I was a bit surprised. I thought the Ferrari would have them quite comfortably, but
yeah, I was a bit disappointed, and just, you know, you just think, not off to a great start there, Perez.
Yeah.
But then it also did leave the potential for a more exciting race with the front two.
It did. And the potential for an exciting season.
Yes.
Stroll and Alonso, turn four, had a bit of a little bit of a touch.
It was quite a shunt, actually, to the rear right wing of the tyre of Alonso. but no damage, really.
Which I thought he'd picked up a puncture or something, but maybe the tyres are better this year. Maybe
the Aston Martin seems to be built like a brick.
It does seem to be.
They had Stroll in mind, and they thought, you know, they want to make him an indestructible bowling ball this season.
Indeed. But obviously Alonso's not famed for getting on with his teammates.
No.
So I know they were a bit hesitant to tell him on the radio who he was asking who crashed.
I think they waited all the way to the end of the race, pretty much.
Yeah.
Although he has been, I mean, he was really, after the race, congratulatory towards Stroll. And I think when the boss man's son is in the car next to you, you're a bit more willing to be nice.
And Alonso's been at the wrong place at the wrong time so many times with teams, like going to the wrong team or leaving before. He could have had a lot more world championships if he got those decisions correct. But maybe he'll get on with Stroll. He's been paid a nice lump sum. But this collision, it allowed Hamilton and Russell both to pass. So it wasn't a very good start for the Aston Martin. And Hülkenberg, who had qualified incredibly well, made contact with Ocon, which started Ocon's miserable day.
Just Ocon slide into oblivion, really.
Yeah, bless him.
Well, it also, we'll mention this later, but we do have a Formula One fantasy league.
Yes.
And I did have Hülkenberg in my team. And so this was not the start that I wanted.
No. By lap 5, Verstappen was 3.5 seconds clear of Leclerc, who was in second at the time. That's quite a big gap. He seemed to be pulling away like a second a lap.
Yeah, I think he definitely was pushing quite hard here.
Yeah. To, I guess, try and get the distance.
Yeah, build up that gap.
Yeah. To prevent the undercar, I guess. So by lap 10, Alonso's recovered from his shunt, should we call it, and he gets within DRS of Russell, and obviously they've both got a Mercedes engine, so it's purely like the aerodynamics.
This is car design, basic principle, going head to head,
and you could really tell who had got it right and who hadn't.
Almost like you could tell who had gotten it right in designs this time last year, and yet Mercedes is still banging their head against the wall.
Yeah, but they're just, you know,
give up,
doing the same thing.
Just,
you know,
give up. Just, you've seen the design that everyone else is going towards. Because that works, yours doesn't work. Like, the no-side pod's weird.
Yeah.
It looks weird. It just looks weird as well. I don't want it to work, but
but everybody else is, like, converging on this one kind of
thing.
They're not all the same.
No,
that's
the thing. It's like, this is what happens, right? The cars tend to be similar, but there's still lots of variation within it.
Yeah. I mean, if somebody who wasn't really that into the sport looked at it, they may think they all look the same, but when you look more at the shape of the side pods,
and the floor designs are all wildly different.
Yeah.
I just think they really need to move on, because this race showed it, really.
Yeah, definitely. They showed a bit of pace in qualifying, but nothing special.
No.
And then this race, they didn't have the best of times.
Yeah.
It was weird to see them not in the first pit. Position when they were going in, they were having to navigate everybody else, which was obviously something to get used to.
Used to that.
Yeah, because Russell's used to being at the end at Williams, and then Hamilton's used to being at the end, the opposite end with Mercedes, and neither of them have had much practice going in between people. I assume they did it at the junior formulas, but not for a while. Anyway, lap 10 also saw Gasly. I think he was the first pitter, and he went in for the hard tyres. So lap 10, that's not a very long stint on the softs, but people were saying they were falling away quite quickly.
There was quite a wide range of tyre degradation. It is a high deg track.
The surface is really rough.
But, you know, teams did differ in how much this happened. I mean, the Red Bulls went soft, hard.
Yes, they were the only team.
And the only team who could do that. The Aston Martin seemed a lot better with their deg. I mean, Alonso was pushing, yet he was managing to have that quite significant, so maybe not just lap-based, difference in the degradation between him and the Ferraris and the Mercedes. So, I think that could really come into play this season as well.
Yeah, I think it definitely could. 'Cause if you're going into a pit stop, that's 20 to 25 seconds, depending on the circuit. And if you're able to manage your tyres better. It is a big part of the race to utilise. So lap 13, Alonso is having a nice little battle. He was in a few battles during the race.
Yeah.
And this one lasted from turn 1 to turn 5 with Russell. And I think there was some good racing in there. There was some close moments.
Nice racing.
But it was good.
Yeah, I don't think it was the best we had, but I think it was it was better than what we kind of had for a lot of the season, where it did last multiple corners.
Yeah.
And we did get a touch of this last season at Bahrain, so hopefully this carries on more. But I think there was definitely better battles, all involving Alonso. yeah, but this was nice to see. Good fair
yeah,
racing.
Yeah, it was nice to see. So Hamilton came in for the hard, but we had our first retirement.
Ugh.
Oscar Piastri. It was heartbreaking to see, you know, unlucky for some 13, and it was. It's not the way he would have thought.
Yeah, his debut
after such a long kind of process. You know, everyone thought he should have had a seat last year, and he didn't have one. And then there was all the hoo-ha about who was going to be racing for this year. Yeah.
Because I mean, people are sort of like, oh, well, he should have taken the Alpine seat, but. You know, at the time, they still weren't giving him the seat for this season.
Mm-hmm.
So they wanted him to go to Williams, I think. So he was sort of picking between a Williams or looking elsewhere for the McLaren. And I do think the McLaren would have, you know, you would have thought that would be the better pick.
Yeah, and to have, I feel like the team might have suited him more. Like,
yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, there's a long way to go. Hopefully McLaren will improve and he can get some results in, but yeah, not a great start, is it?
Yeah. The next lap, 14, we saw a Ferrari double stack. Very impressive. And early on, out of practice.
It worked
really well. They were both quite quick stops. Mm. There was no tangle up, miscommunication, wrong tyres on. It was...
No, you know, Leclerc screaming like, why?
Yeah, or... people having half one set of tyres, half the other set of tyres. We've seen some tragic double stacks.
Yeah, I think Haas did one years ago where both cars came in and both had one tyre loose and both had to retire.
Yes, they got to the end of the pit and then they were like, oh my... I think that was probably an issue with the wheel gun.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
But you always have that.
But that one's always in the back of my mind. Yeah, I think what this situation is you watch this and you know, everyone's waited with bated breath and you think, how are they going to screw this up? But they don't screw it up and you're relieved for a second and then you think, okay, all that bad luck is coming. When's it going to come? When's it going to be released?
It's still going to be bubbling away for a few more laps. So lap 15, Verstappen comes in and he pitted for the soft tyres and I saw him come out of the pit lane with the red wall tyre. And then on the graphic, it said hard tyre. And I was thinking, have my eyes deceived me? But no.
Eagle eyesight.
He was on the soft tyres. I knew it. I'd seen it.
Mm-hmm.
But the graphic come up hard. And it wasn't a hard tyre in my eyes. It was a soft. I think it just confused them because everybody was going one way.
Yeah.
And they went the other.
Graphics department is terrible. And they should have seen it coming because they did use another set of hards during qualifying.
Yes.
Which no one else did. Because, I think they just thought they didn't have as much tyre deg as everyone else and they were fast enough where they could do whatever they want.
Yeah, they could just do what they wanted, really. Yeah. So they went soft and then onto another set of soft. And Hamilton, Verstappen was the first one to pit, but Perez did do the same thing. So, lap 16, Bottas, who's in my fantasy team, he was up to P6 because he stopped early.
That was on merit, right? Like, he stopped early, the others had pitted behind him, so he had gained that position.
Yeah,
you know, so
like
it was,
fair and square. Yeah, it wasn't like he hadn't pitted, so he was still out there. Yeah,
quite impressive.
He did get passed by Alonso and Russell within two laps, but it did show the Alfa Romeo has pace. Because maybe it hadn't really shown that as much over the weekend.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit forgotten about. And Bottas is a great driver, so I think... there'll be quite a few solid results for him throughout the season.
Yeah.
I think they could do quite well.
I hope so. They do seem to just not get much of a mention. They seem to just go along quite quietly doing their own thing.
Yeah.
But we don't know. So lap 17, this is probably the funniest thing I've seen for a long time. Ocon comes into the pits. So he was too far forward, I think, in his grid box at the start of the race. Yeah. So he gets a 5-second penalty. And he comes in to the pit and he has to serve this 5-second penalty. They can't touch the car.
Mm-hmm.
But because of his collision earlier on lap one with Hülkenberg, he gets a new front wing. And the mechanic started undoing it before the 5 seconds was up. So he ends up getting a 10-second penalty for that. And then it transpires for later on that he was speeding in the pits. So he got another 5-second penalty for that. So that's 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So he got a penalty for driving to his penalty, which incurred in him getting a penalty.
Another penalty. Yeah. I think Ocon might want to forget this weekend happened. Maybe some kind of forced amnesia, if that's a thing. Because, wow. Just, I mean, 2 out of 3, his fault. Can't really blame anyone else.
Yeah.
And then obviously the mechanic, unfortunate there.
That is, yeah. But, and that was 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Can't help it, but. Yeah, it was quite funny. I found it quite funny.
Yeah, but I mean, that did ruin what could have been, you know, a points finish. Gasly finished in the points, so.
Yeah, and Gasly started at the back because of his track. He exceeded track limits in qualifying, so his time was deleted. So he started from the back, and he managed to climb up into the points, whereas Ocon ended up retiring from the race. So it would definitely, they had contrasting fortunes. So lap 26, Perez overtakes Leclerc at turn one and is back into P2. And that's kind of, I feel like, when the Red Bulls just sail off into the distance.
Yeah, at this point they were pretty much untouchable. Fairly straightforward, this one. Sainz stuck with him for a corner or two, but just couldn't fight it back.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, hopefully that changes, because even if you know the outcome and, you know, the Red Bull's always going to take the Ferrari, it would be nice to at least see them battle it out a bit.
Yeah, definitely. But there wasn't much of a battle. There was no fight in there. Lap 31, Hamilton comes in for new hard tyres. So his first stint was on the softs and his second stint was on a hard. And they didn't last as long as I thought. I thought that he'd have been out there maybe till lap 35 or
less time than two softs on the Red Bull.
Yeah.
And by this point, Verstappen is still out on his second pair of softs.
Yeah, so they've done soft, and Hamilton's done soft-hard and comes into the pit beforehand.
Yeah. So, yeah, something there is either the degradation's a lot worse or the strategy was quite different, but...
Yeah, because then the next lap, Russell pits as well, so maybe it was the degradation. But he came out in front of Stroll, but it was only just in front of Stroll, and obviously his tyres went up to temperature, so Stroll
just
managed to pass him quite easily. Which I do think maybe that was a bit of a blunder, or maybe they thought there'd be more of a gap to Stroll, because you need a few turns, maybe even half the lap, before
just to get those tyres up.
Yeah, before you can even think about defending your position. Yeah. Other than that, somebody is going to just stroll past you. So lap 37 is when Verstappen comes in for his hard tyres. So 6 laps longer. 2 pairs of softs went 6 laps longer than soft and a hard.
Yeah.
Which doesn't... No, that's not math.
Yeah. And then, I mean, obviously the Mercedes is not capable of fighting the Red Bulls, but it just goes to show you that, like, they're not even thinking about it, are they? They're not... You know, they're like, well, we've got a six lap tire deficit here, and it doesn't matter because we're not going to find them. So who cares? It's not our race, and it is quite sad. But
But whilst that was going on, Verstappen sailing off into the distance, we saw Hamilton and Alonso battling for P5.
Here it is.
We've been waiting for this for a while.
Yeah.
And there was no contact.
No, It looked like, from one angle, at one point, almost similar to the Stroll tap on Alonso. It looked very similar to that. But there is one angle where you can see it quite clearly. Alonso's front left comes towards Hamilton's rear right, but it kind of like flicks away at the last minute. But Hamilton's does move, and he thinks he got hit in an interview afterwards. Mm. So I think it was really just the force of the air that, because even though originally the commentators thought they did hit it, but there is one angle you can see it just doesn't hit it.
I did see him kind of...
Because they both kind of flick.
Yeah.
But I think it was like he was skidding around the corner and the force of this air barreling into him.
Yeah.
So that was quite cool to see.
Yeah, that is cool. So Alonso, he did pull off quite a nice looking overtake on the inside.
Beautiful.
Nobody Absolutely else had really beautiful. Been overtaken there, right?
No, it's like wasn't really an overtaking spot. The best you could do, I think, was more like when he overtook Sainz later on in a similar place. You go around the outside and then overtake on the straight afterwards.
Yes.
But he sort of went to do that, so Hamilton covered the right. Alonso beautifully slipped into the inside and just away. God, it was good. It was
into
really,
the night.
Really good racing between two legends. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Multi-world champions, absolute.
Just, yeah, gods incredible. Of the sport. And I honestly, at this point, I thought, just cover up one and two on your screen, right? Forget mm-hmm. the Red Bulls are there. And you've got the foundations of a great season here.
Yes.
And if it is this, dramatic and people passing this many times and fighting over multiple corners, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but if that happens at, multiple races this year, that'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be. If there's a proper battle going on, then I don't think, I mean, people will still mind that there's a runaway leader.
It's not what you want.
We don't know if that's going to happen yet. No. It's too early on. We were in the Ferrari camp last year, dressed head to toe in red.
We were really changing sides.
And that obviously...
Didn't come to pass. So it was all just a joke. We weren't really going to be Ferrari fans.
Yeah, I mean, I was never actually wearing red. No. Too close to Arsenal. Anyways, lap 41, the inevitable bad luck comes and haunts.
Here it is in full force.
Leclerc retired with a power issue.
Yeah.
Was it the same issue that haunted him before the race even started? Are we going to see this happening quite a lot? Who knows?
Well, they spent all winter focusing on reliability, Ellie, so I don't think they know either.
I think they'll take some comfort in it was only Leclerc.
Yeah.
It wasn't so we had Ocon retire, but they have their own engine. Mm. And Piastri retired, but they have a McLaren engine.
Yeah, so there was only the one Ferrari engine, which...
Whereas with the Red Bull last time, there was like three out of four Red Bull
cars all off.
So that would take some comfort in knowing that they had other customer teams completing, because they have power, that Alfa Romeo and the Haas, right?
The Alphas in particular, but there's pace there in the engine still. We know that, but whether there's enough there to compete with the Red Bulls, even if it works, we'll see.
And even further back down the field, lap 42, we saw Yuki doing a lovely double overtake. I think Nick had quite a good weekend for a rookie. Mm. For his I know he's raced before, so it wasn't his first race, but first race.
Yeah.
And maybe Yuki was you're not going to be the number one driver easily.
He was quite. I'm not saying this in a negative way in any sense, right? But he was a little bit cocky, De Vries, maybe just confident, and I think and very much, I'm going to beat Yuki, because that's the mentality you have to have, right?
Yeah.
So no disregard on his part at all. But I think this is what you would expect Yuki to be doing better at this point.
Yes.
He showed that, which I think was good.
Yeah, I did think that was good, because he's had some criticism in the past, because he never compared really to Gasly.
No.
And this is his third season now.
Yeah, so he's got he really does have to beat De Vries if he wants to keep that seat.
Because otherwise we question why he has a seat over other people.
Yeah.
With Mick Schumacher, he had two seasons that didn't really impress that much, so he went. So it's how long do you give other people? Lap 44, Alonso did catch up to Sainz, and this is for the podium, because Leclerc is gone.
Yeah.
So you've got Red Bull 1 and 2, Leclerc is gone, you've got Sainz, and then Alonso, and then Hamilton was dropped quite quickly.
Yeah.
You know, when Alonso got past Alonso.
Yeah, he didn't stay with him really, did he?
No. Anyway, so he gets within DRS and he overtakes the same corner that he overtook Hamilton, but this time around the outside.
Nice and textbook, really. I mean, textbook, yeah. You know, you could deliver the perfect instructions and he followed them to a T. Just Sainz compromised on the exit and with the faster car and the better tyres, really.
By this point, Alonso, when he went past Sainz and Sainz fell away quite quickly from him, he was just enjoying his day.
Yeah, he was really happy.
He was looking out the window. Yeah. You know, I think he was probably singing some tunes to himself. He went on come on the radio and said, singing "This car is lovely to drive."
Yeah, he did.
I think he had a lovely day evening. I think
to finally get back in a car that's responds to what he wants it to do, I think, is the main thing, and has the power to go with that. I mean, yeah, he's been waiting for it for ten years. Yeah. So, happy for Fernando, happy for the team that they made that improvement.
Yeah, definitely,
and excited to just see someone move into that top three and break away from the midfield.
Yeah, and to come from seventh, they were the lower midfield, to come up to now be, you know, broken into the top three. That's very impressive to do it in 1 year. Yeah. I don't know how, sustainable that is, but I feel like they have put good things in place.
The foundations are strong. It's not just a fluke. It is, you know, they've evidenced where they've done it. Like we've said before, they've hired lots of people from Red Bull, from I think Mercedes as well. So it's exciting to see where they go.
Yes. So lap 57, the checkered flag comes out, and that's it.
Max Verstappen wins the Bahrain Grand Prix.
That's exactly how they say it on the television.
I should be doing that.
You should be doing that.
So easy 1-2 for Red Bull, really.
Yeah.
Obviously, a little slip-up from Perez, but, you know, once he showed he did have the pace, wasn't much Ferrari could do to stop him.
No, after lap, 26, it was never in doubt. It was,
Some quality on-track battles, I think, is the main takeaway from this race, in my opinion. I don't know if you agree with that.
From, from an actual perspective, what we saw. Yeah. There were some good battles. There was a few DRS trains, but...
Yeah, and lower down there was a bit.
Hopefully we see a bit less of that.
Yeah.
It didn't seem as bad, but I don't really know. Obviously, we had no yellow flags. Yeah. After a yellow flag, sometimes...
Yeah, everyone's bunched up.
And then after two laps, they put it on, but it's still too bunched up. So we'll see how that progresses.
Yeah. I think it's time will tell on that one, but... Yeah. Yeah, definitely there was enough pace difference within the top few teams where you didn't see that. But, I enjoyed the battling, and I think it does show that, you know, with the following better, people aren't dropping off and saving up everything for one overtake and then it's over.
Yeah.
Which, you know, over the last few years, I can't count. I mean, I can probably count on one hand the amount of decent battle overtake kind of, you know, swapping positions we've actually had. So... this is
like multi-corner.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
actually
having to scrap it out for track position. So, and not just, you know, on the straights, done and dusted. So, yeah. Let's talk about teams individually. I want to start with McLaren because we both like McLaren and they were terrible.
Yes.
I would say catastrophically bad.
Yes. They qualified. You know, Piastri qualified the same position as Ricciardo, and Norris qualified one position better than last year.
Yeah.
And they recovered to have a decent enough season.
That's true. But if you actually, if you look at Q1, you know, if Norris and Sargeant, a rookie, had swapped places and had their laps... reversed, so Sargeant had gone first, Norris would have been out in Q1 because their times were exactly the
same. They were the exact same, yeah.
So, you know, whatever went on there, you know, it wasn't good enough, really, was it? And yeah, I mean, it is going to come down to, is their B spec better? Can they get some performance out of their upgrades?
Yeah, they have big upgrades to come. This promising, but who knows
of this?
Obviously, Piastri went out with an issue. They put in a new steering wheel, and bless him, he was sitting in the pits for a couple minutes before I think they just decided to give up.
I mean, that was not really the issue, was it? But I mean, it's worth trying.
And obviously, Norris also had his issue. They kept having to come in and top it up.
Six pit stops.
I feel like that's a new world record.
Six.
How did I thought they'd have run out of tyres by then.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure... I think I saw something where, like... I don't know if they won... This was, like, I'm talking years ago. Mm. McLaren had some race where they had loads of pit stops and they still managed to win or get on the podium, at least. Whereas, yeah, I mean, it was just to show how far they've fallen, basically.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was a pressure issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I suppose they kept going for data and to see how the issue evolved.
I think also because they didn't want two DNFs.
Yeah.
I think maybe if Oscar was still out there, they would have been...
just pack it in, but the PR of two back in the garage.
Yeah, so bless him, they kept Lando out there. It must have been such
quite a... demoralising.
There's nothing you can do, you know, you keep having to come in.
He came 17th, but he was the last to finish.
Yeah.
So... just disappointing.
Yeah. Obviously, he did have three more pit stops than most.
Yeah. I mean, it's not his fault. We know he's a good driver. And yeah. But how?
Yeah.
How much longer are you going to wait around for the team to get his act together?
When Sainz and Hamilton were a bit closer together, Hamilton obviously finished to end up behind Sainz, but he did get closer.
Yeah, he was catching.
Norris was holding on to that train. He was in DRS of Hamilton, and he was staying there for quite a good number of laps. You had Sainz, then Hamilton, and then Norris in his train, and nobody got past anyone, but nobody fell away straight away.
Yeah, so there's possibility that, you know, with reliability and with a few tweaks, maybe that shows he can battle with them.
Yeah, because I know that he was on like a brand new set of tyres then, so that is a bit different. True. And he had the DRS, but it was still a bit of a positive.
You've got to take what you can.
Yes. Really. They'll be looking for absolutely anything, I think.
Yeah. I think this is a conspiracy theory, right? This is... you really have to put on your tinfoil hat for this one, right?
Yeah.
But
let me just get it out.
The fact that, right, so Zach Brown's out here and he's pedaling, it was a pressure issue, you know?
Yeah.
When really they had to come into the pit six times to charge up the cool new iPad things they've got on the side of their car.
I think they're more like a Kindle.
Yeah, it's like a Kindle, long lasting.
I said, Harry, they have screens. They have advertising screens on their car, and you're like, what? No, they don't.
Well, it sounds mental because it is.
And they do. I was right.
Yeah, it is like a Kindle e-reader screen. But how funny.
They weigh I think it's like 100 or 200 grams. They're not really heavy, but...
But people are stripping paint off their cars to save weight, and they're putting on Kindles.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do. Every penny counts, I guess, but... Maybe if their car worked, they'd get more sponsor time. Who knows?
Yes, I agree. I think... You can put a lot of sponsor on there, and more like they've put these Kindle things on there, and they might be compromising on performance. But then, if they didn't have the money coming in, would they?
They've lost maybe like, I don't know, 0.1% performance, but with that money, they've gained, you know, 2% performance, whatever. Like,
it just looks a bit strange, and it's a bit gimmicky.
It just adds to the narrative, doesn't it? That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it definitely does.
If they had all this stuff and they were top of the midfield, you wouldn't hear anything, because it'd be like... Because, I mean, he has done a great job, Zach Brown, of being the CEO position, getting sponsors back, you know, building a narrative despite the results not always showing that.
And they got a new team principal in there, so we'll see if results get better or...
Yeah.
They got rid of one person, was his name?
The old team principal?
Yep.
Andreas Seidel, wasn't it?
Yeah, and what's the name of the new one?
Oh,
It's Andrea Stella. That's the same name. Yeah. It's almost
exactly. Maybe he's just, it's him with a mustache, like in a wig.
Maybe. Like the glasses, yeah, the fake nose and that, maybe. It's just like, I read it and I was like, new team principal, Andrea Stella. And I was like, isn't that the same guy?
Yeah.
So, very similar names going on there.
Yeah, so that's McLaren's one to watch.
Yeah.
We'll see where they end.
We'll see if there's any development.
Yeah. Obviously, we've talked about Fernando and the Aston Martins. The Lance contact, I think with that team, I'm almost more interested in... I'm confident the development will keep up for all the reasons we've said. So I'm more interested in him, Alonso and Stroll and their relationship and whether Stroll will keep up in a respectable... I'm not expecting him to beat him, but in a respectable kind of position.
Yeah, because obviously last year he was with Ocon and Ocon did beat him.
Yeah.
But Alonso hasn't really necessarily gone with his teammates, but there's... I mean, not always, but there has sometimes been some sort of respect there. Yeah, you have to have that respect when you're battling with somebody. But it may be harder to respect somebody who is a pay driver. Yeah. He has shown that he's not a bad driver, but he is still
there's that,
a Nepo baby, as people like to say.
Slight question over always, because everyone there is fighting. And their results have to prove it.
Yes.
Well, he's fighting and his results might prove it. But, you know, if his results didn't prove it, he wouldn't be going anywhere, would he? Let's be honest.
Yeah, he wouldn't be out of a job.
But I do want to say this race, I don't think he's on the same level as some pay drivers. We've said this before. This race can only prove that he is a fighter.
Yes.
To get in the car, you know, 2 weeks after you've, damaged, broken both wrists, toe, ribs, as you said, and, you know, do a full race difference and still finish, you know, in a great position. I just think he deserves every credit for it.
Yeah, no, he had a very good weekend this weekend, and he has, as I said, he has proven the last few years especially.
Yeah.
At first, I think he wasn't very good, but recently he has proven he is actually a competent driver.
Yeah, he does have his moments of spatial awareness and, you know.
Obviously he did hit Fernando, but there was no investigation.
Yeah, it's a first lap incident, really, but I think that's what I'm interested with them.
It'll be interesting to watch that develop for the next 22 races.
Yeah. Williams, off to a good start.
Oh, yes. I ranked Williams higher than you in our preseason. You were a fool.
Yeah.
I watched every moment. Well, not literally, but I watched a lot of preseason. So I knew a little bit what I was talking about. So I wasn't surprised to see the Williams doing well. I wasn't surprised to see Alex Albon doing well because I rate him.
Yeah.
But I was happy. I was very happy to see them because they feel like obviously Ferrari, but they feel like one of the last proper Formula One teams.
Yeah, history wrapped up in them, isn't there?
It's not like Aston Martin that went from being Jordan and who knows what and Force India and Racing Point and now Aston Martin.
Yeah.
It's had a long history, whereas I feel like Williams, like, that's not a car. That's not a sports drink.
No.
That's, like, a name of someone's family.
That's Frank Williams. And, it's only recently that they are not in the Williams hands.
Yes.
I mean, it is sad that this, you know, the improvements are coming afterwards. But, you know, it is the money which counts. And, you know, if they've got them on back on the track to fighting competitively in the midfield...
Yeah, I think it's going to take a long time before we see them any higher. But they've got, as we said, James Vowles there now. And I think he'll do good things. I'm hoping good things.
Just honestly, I think the expectations are quite low. So, you know, small improvements.
Yeah.
Getting a point here for Albon, 12th for Sargent. And for his, you know, rookie race.
Imagine if they finished 10th and 12th last season, they'd have had a party. And it's like they've done that in the first race, and it may have been a fluke.
Yeah.
But I think that they should have some more consistency.
Yeah.
You know, we hope so, anyway.
I mean, you don't know how the year's going to shake out. Maybe snagging, you know, 10th and getting 1 point every now and then is enough to move you up a couple spots.
Yeah.
Last season, you know, last place they had 8 points, right? So
yeah.
So maybe they need to do more if they want to keep going, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's
a good start.
It's definitely a good start.
Any other teams you want to particularly look at?
I would just like to mention Alpine, mm-hmm. because I thought that Gasly had a really good race.
Yeah.
He moved up 11 places. He started 20th. Obviously, whatever happened with Ocon happened with Ocon. Mm-hmm. But I think that they showed some real promise.
Yeah.
In testing, they didn't really show much pace.
No. People expected it. And they kept saying, like, they, you know, when the sandbags off. But we never saw it.
We never saw that. But they showed maybe they do have good race pace. Yeah. Obviously, Gasly's a very good driver.
Yeah.
Been driving in the sport for a long time now. But I was quite impressed, I will say.
Yeah.
By that.
I think one, you know, give it a couple races, we'll know much more where they are, as long as the penalties stop coming.
Yeah.
And, you know, if they have actually start off where they can fully qualify, both of them. Yeah. I expect them to be top of the midfield, because anything else would be, you know, less. But I think if they finish below, you know, the top three and Aston Martin this year, I think they'd take that as a win.
Yeah, if they finished fifth, I think that would be... I predicted them sixth.
Yeah.
But I feel like fifth is probably the best they can do.
Yeah.
And it's probably what they should do.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. We did mention it before. Our fantasy F1 league.
Yes.
Would you like to tell the viewers how we did?
I'm beating Harry. By one point. And who got you minus 1 point?
Hulkenberg.
So
Hulkenberg. This is a top strat for you, ladies and gentlemen. Don't pick drivers that are going to qualify well, but then fall back in the race, because all you do is lose points. He got me 1 point from qualifying well. I was like, wow, that's great. Lost six by falling back down to where he should be. It's just not worth it.
It's, yeah. And I had Albon in, because I rate the Williams.
Yeah.
And I won by 1 point, so...
He was too expensive for my loadout, that's the thing. Yeah. I could have put, like, Sargent or someone in there, though. One of the rookies, because I think all did better. But you live and you learn.
It was our first ever week playing it, and we did all right.
Yeah, and if you want to join in at home, there will be a link in the description.
Yes.
Create your teams and join in.
Best name... Well, I'd say you win a prize, you don't. But we want some good names.
Yeah, you can have the... We'll shout you out if you've got a cool name on there, and you can have the satisfaction of knowing we liked it.
Yeah.
What more prize could you want?
We're easily amused.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to think that hard about it.
No.
I mean, we thought rear winging it was a funny name.
Yeah, it's a good name.
So...
It's no skid marks, but... That'll be a rival podcast.
That'll be a rival
podcast, when we fall out and have some beef, I'll start skid marks.
Yeah. You do that.
Ellie, it's time for the final thoughts.
I haven't done my driver of the day yet.
Oh my god, I forgot driver of the
day. You forgot my driver of the day.
Ellie, it's not time for final thoughts.
It's not.
My final thought is, what's your driver of the day?
My driver of the day, quite obviously, Fernando Alonso.
Fernando Alonso. It's got to be.
It's got to be.
I mean, wow. He did it. The madman did it. The expectations were there. He smashed them.
And he just couldn't stop smiling.
Nope.
He was in the press conferences, like, I don't know where that came from. Like, wow. And it was just good to see, I think. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Alonso. Every second. I mean, he made the race, honestly. Nothing else could have happened. And just watching him tear through some old rivals, some new blood. I mean, just beautiful.
Yeah, I think if he wasn't in the race, you could have said it was a bit boring.
Boring, yeah.
But he made it.
But he was, and it wasn't.
Indeed.
Yeah. Ellie, final thoughts?
My final thoughts are, I'm now an Aston Martin fan, and I'm allowed to do that because, A, they're British, and, B, their base is at Silverstone, which is, as I've said before, that's in the Look East region.
Wow, yeah. So it's basically your home team.
Yeah.
just nodding. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. So,
cool. I'm going to be all dressed in green.
Actually, my final thoughts are, sorry, I've got another final thoughts. I saw the Aston Martin and someone had taken off the green, so it was just like more of like the yellowy neon bits, and it looked like a brawn, you know.
Okay, yeah.
And then somebody did like a mock-up of what it would look like on a 2023 car, like in like a 3D kind of style, and it looked incredible.
You're gonna so have to show me this.
I would love it if they did a special livery that was like a white with like the neon bits, because it looked incredible. They probably won't do it because the paint would weigh too much.
Yeah.
But it looked amazing. Yeah, so that's my final thought.
High hopes of the special liveries this year, but maybe Red Bull will do some if they know they're so far ahead.
Yeah, hopefully.
My final thoughts. My final thoughts are #. How many fingers, Felipe?
It was four. It was four fingers. Which, if Sainz hadn't gone out,
would have been perfect.
If Leclerc hadn't have gone out, it would have been.
Yeah.
They would finish fourth, so...
Yeah, Felipe Drogovic, he predicted where Alonso would come. He said fourth. And Crofty asked him in a weird, slightly sexual way about talking about fingers.
Yeah.
And yeah, he got it spot on. So my shout out to Felipe.
Great job, Felipe.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
We'll be back for Jeddah.
Saudi Arabia.
Saudi Arabia, yep. Street race, tight corners, dangerous.
I think it's been changed a little bit, less dangerous, but we'll still dangerous.
Yeah, still probably too much. Hopefully there's no missiles flying this time. we'll catch you next week for what will hopefully be an exciting race.
Enjoy us playing you out with the beautiful tones of ABBA.
Fernando, you deserved it. There was something in the air.